Name something that gets passed around.
A joint.
A joint.
Now, streaming live on the Marijuana Agenda.
Oh, gnarly. What are you people? On dope?
It's time for Toker Talk Radio.
Hey, this is great, man.
The voice of the marijuana nation.
Marijuana is listed as a Schedule I drug. That is absurd.
Call in now at 650-LEGAL-MJ. That's 650-534-2565.
What's to keep somebody from getting all potted up on weed and then getting behind the wheel?
Hey, man. Am I driving okay?
Toker Talk Radio is your chance to make your voice heard in the marijuana nation.
They're walking on their pants with their cap on backwards, listening to Enema Man and Snoopy Snoopy Poop Dog.
Send that message with clarity that good people don't smoke marijuana.
Now let's get to Toking and Talking with your host, Russ Belville.
All right, welcome everybody to Toker Talk Radio. So glad to have you here. Get myself dialed in. Balance doesn't seem right to me. Am I loud enough for you? I hope I am. Feels weird to me, but hey, quick update on the show. We're getting our new feeds up and running, and the latest one to be brought live today is our iTunes feed. So if you are used to listening to the show through iTunes, you can find us now on iTunes. Visit mjagenda.com and look at the icons for the subscription links, and you'll now find one in there for iTunes, among the others that are there for Stitcher and TuneIn and Google Play Music and the RSS feed. Basically, if you want to get this show, we've got a way for you to get it through your favorite outlet. So check that out today. We are now live on iTunes. And I think next week or the week after, we'll be able to apply for our position on iHeartRadio as well. That's the last platform we need to get placed on. And then we begin the development of the Marijuana Agenda app. We'll have a Marijuana Agenda app. We're going to have our own custom website in a better one than the one we've got right now. We're using the default Libsyn platform right now. We're getting a custom site built up that'll be a lot better. Have the video window and the chat right next to it and all that good stuff. Plus, we're going to get that VIP feature integrated, which will include access to all of the segments without commercials. So if you become a VIP member of the Marijuana Agenda, and we'll set the price probably at $420. If you become a VIP member, you'll be able to download these segments by themselves. You can embed them and share them and pass them around without having to listen to all the commercials. So if you particularly like, say, Dr. Mitch Earlywine, you could get the RSS feed for just that segment with Dr. Mitch and only download that one if you wanted to. So we'll provide lots of options for you as we continue to build this new platform on the Marijuana Agenda. Also, I wanted to rant, a little mini rant about dogs. You know, I love my dog, Roscoe, the late Roscatelli, Smelly Felly, Semicolon, Pucker Butt, Nut Stomper, Boob Squisher, Sanchez, Gomez, Rodriguez, Ramirez, Coltrane, my former dog. He's a Jack Russell terrorist. Well, there was a story here in Portland that kind of rose my ire. And it was about this big white dog that had gotten loose. It was attacking kids at a bus stop, and a woman had to, you know, defend these kids, and it was chased her into an apartment or whatever. And so she calls the cops, and Portland Police Bureau shows up, and the cop says the dog chased after him, and so he shot at the dog. Dog got hit in the leg. It's going to survive. It's going to be okay. But my problem was, in the reporting on it, this local TV reporter from K2 News, her name's Eileen Park, at Eileen Park TV, on Twitter, had reported on this pit bull being loose, white pit bull loose, white pit bull gets shot, white pit bull was attacking kids. And I'm thinking, wow, that's some really good news sleuthing. Consider they don't know who the owner of this dog is. They don't have any DNA evidence off of this dog, and nobody reporting on this, as far as I know, is a judge from the American Kennel Club who can positively identify that the large white dog in question was indeed an American Pit Bull Terrier. And so I went off on this woman in three or four, a little Twitter fight that we had, trying to explain to her that Pit Bull is the thug of reporting on dog attacks. It's an inflammatory word. It's inaccurate. It's used to characterize an entire type of dog that is then used to promote breed bias, to have these breed-specific bans against these dogs that there's no scientific reason why they should be banned compared to any other dog. And I kept trying to explain to her that it is a term of bias. And she kept falling back on, well, the Portland Police Bureau said it was a pit bull. And I'm like, yeah, but if the Portland Police Bureau said they were chasing a thug, would you report thug too? Right? Portland Police Bureau doesn't have the authority to know that that's a pit bull. All we know for sure is it was a large white dog involved in the attack. Using the word pit bull just invokes that inflammatory frame of these dogs somehow being more dangerous or deadly than any other dog. And they're not. They're not. It's all about the owner. Pit bulls are some of the most loving, wonderful dogs you could ever hope to own. And I just get sick about this biased language involving them. So if you've been following my Twitter feed and wondering what that was all about, that's what that was all about. All right, I'm going to wind up this first segment here with my last clip from the North Texas Marijuana March that we're going to play. We marched down the streets of Fort Worth, openly smoking pot, about 1,200 tokers. We all gathered at the Tarrant County Courthouse steps, and this was my speech to the assembled toking Texans.
Now we're going to hear a speech from Radical Russ. He hosts the Marijuana Agenda, a news and talk radio program for the cannabis community. He's a prolific writer. He reports live from every marijuana election since 2010. And today, he's here to talk to you. What a joy. Russ.
Thank you so much. agenda.com. You heard Aaron earlier talking about fighting ignorance. This is how you fight ignorance. I'm on the air 2 hours every day spilling facts, science, reason, logic, compassion, truth, honesty, and justice.
Yeah.
And it's free! So pick it up. We're on iTunes, iHeartRadio, Stitcher, TuneIn, SoundCloud, YouTube. If it's electronic, this is where you pick it up. All right, here you go. You can take that. So this is my fifth year coming to Texas. I was in at the Cinco de Mota launch. Anybody else was at Cinco de Mota here in 2012? And I came back. So I'm from Portland, Oregon, where I can walk six blocks away from my house to go to a legal pot shop. I can walk six blocks down the street and not have to worry about hearing sirens. Because marijuana is legal there because people like us got together, registered to vote, put out petitions, got the law changed, and fought for our freedom, like you are.
Yeah.
You're making this happen. And when I came back from Texas the first time, I had a friend of mine, you know, people on the West Coast, where it's all hippy-dippy liberal, we got our weed, right?
Oh, man, Texas, that's got to be hard, man. Texas, man, they're never going to legalize it. It's going to be forever in Texas. And I said, you wait. Texas is going to shock the law. First of all, you already got CBD, which some states, my home state, I was born in Idaho, and then Idaho vetoed CBD. So you're already ahead of Idaho. I know it's a low bar, but you're already ahead of Idaho. In that respect, give yourself a hand for coming up with that law. And now you got HB 2107. You're going to go whole plant marijuana, whole plant cannabis for your patients, that all patients can access whole plant cannabis and smoke it. If you guys pass that, that's the first state to do that since 2008.
Since Hell yeah!
Can Texas do it? Back in 1973, we were the first state to decriminalize. That's how you start. You get the squares out there to understand there's no point in punishing us. There's no point wasting money on the jails. There's no point wasting money on the probation officers and the pee tests and hurting people with a lifetime criminal record. Laws changed, because it's all about the power of the individual, the power of you. And to do this, I want to quote three
three Texans who inspired me throughout my life. The first one is a man, he actually was born in Valdosta, Georgia, but he moved to Texas when he was 7. He grew up in Texas, became famous. He's the eminent 20th century stand-up philosopher, Bill Hicks.
Yeah!
Bill Hicks once said, quote, "Bush came out and said, we are losing the war against drugs. You know what that implies? There's a war being fought, and the people on drugs are winning it." Yeah. We are winning, aren't we?
Yeah.
5 years ago, when I first came here, you didn't have CBD. You didn't have any shot of a whole plant. You didn't have any shot at decrim, and now you've got it because you came out here in March and you made your voices heard.
Yep.
12 years ago, when I started in Oregon with my activism, we didn't have legalization. The Gallup polls were at 36%, and there was only 8 medical marijuana states. Now we're at 30 states with some form of medical cannabis. And Gallup polls are 60%. This happened because of people like you, and especially, as mentioned before, people like Vincent Lopez, who I met. Wonderful man that I met out here who inspired me, who made me realize, hell, if Vincent can do it, anybody out here can do it.
Yeah.
People like Alexis Bortel. I met her, she was 9 years old. Now she's over 700 days seizure free. People like my friend Barbara Humphreys, who overcame cancer, is now standing up and being a strong actress in her own right.
Fuck cancer!
So let's hear it from the men and women who make the difference, but especially the women. Let's hear it for the ladies. I said for a long time that one Korean female activist is worth 5 men. Because women, we all know the rule, if mama ain't happy, ain't nobody happy. If mama rocks the cradle, rules the world. And that's why I want to quote my second Texan, the late Governor Ann Richards.
Oh yeah, I'm
a who said, with regard to women in politics, if you give us a chance, we can perform. After all, Ginger Rogers did everything Fred Astaire did. She just did it backwards and in heels. That's it, ladies. So remember that we are fighting the good fight. We are on the right side of history, just like the people who fought for the abolition of slavery, people who fought for the civil rights movement, people who fought for the gay rights movement, for the women's rights movement. This is a civil rights movement.
Yeah!
And to that extent, let me quote again the eminent philosopher Bill Hicks, who said, quote, "Why is marijuana against the law? It grows naturally on our planet, serves 1,000 different functions, all of them positive. To make marijuana against the law is like saying that God made a mistake. Like, on the 7th day, God looked down and said, there it is, my creation, perfect and holy in all ways. Now I can rest." Oh no. Oh my me. I left pot all over the place. If I leave pot everywhere, that's going to give people the impression they're supposed to use it. Now I have to create Republicans. So, in closing, thank you so much, Texas, for inviting me out here for my 5th year. And I leave you with a quote from my last favorite Texan, the late writer Molly Ivins, who said, quote, "If you ever get to the place where injustice doesn't bother you, you're dead. All of you are very alive and very woke. Thanks for being here."
I hope you can see why I enjoy going to Texas so much. It's just so invigorating to have all those energized red state activists kicking ass and taking names. We'll be back in November. I'm going to be performing the marriage ceremony of Akilah Parker and Mike Wienerke. So that'll be fun. We'll see you in Dallas in November. We're back right after these brief messages.
You're listening to The Marijuana Agenda with Russ Belville.
Looking for the 420 friendliest way to visit beautiful legal Potland, Oregon?
I'm Lori Duckworth, inviting you to come stay with us at Delta 9 House and Studios.
You get your own private room with queen bed and access to our high-speed Wi-Fi, premium entertainment system, and more.
We'll even cook you breakfast. Look us up on Facebook at Delta 9 House.
That's facebook.com/Delta9House. Delta 9 House is booked through Airbnb and licensed by the City of Portland.
Georgia.
Hi, this is Willie Nelson. Alcohol prohibition didn't work in the 1920s, and marijuana prohibition isn't working today. It's time we stopped arresting responsible marijuana smokers. It's the fair thing to do.
For more information, contact NORML, the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws. Call toll-free 888-67-NORML or visit their website at norml.org.
You're listening to the Marijuana Agenda with Russ Belville.
I'm Russ Belville from the Marijuana Agenda. Join me every 4 weeks for the UK Cannabis Chronicle from the UK Cannabis Social Clubs. Learn more at mjagenda.com/about.
Hello, Mr. Man. Hi. I'm working. I'm sorry, no food till this is done.
It's time for Toker Talk Radio, the voice of the marijuana nation. Call in now at 650-LEGAL-MJ.
Welcome back, everyone. 16 after the hour. In this segment, I want to talk a little bit about Denver's social use, the proposed permitting system to allow there to be marijuana lounges and special social consumption events. And of course, I'm a huge proponent of such a thing. I mean, treat marijuana like alcohol has to mean treat marijuana users like alcohol users. And if they have bars and Oktoberfests, then by God, we deserve our lounges and our hemp fests. So I'm glad it's moving forward. But one of the things that's most frustrating about these baby steps we have to take is how we're coming out of treating marijuana, you know, as this terribly deadly, dangerous drug. And we still have lawmakers and regulators that approach it as if we're dealing with porn or plutonium or something or PCP. And it's just frustrating, man. First of all, they're saying that businesses that might want to get these social use permits would have to have patrons sign a waiver as they enter. Have to sign a waiver. Now, according to the Denver Post, the waiver requirements would happen every single time that you go into the into the place. So every time you have to sign this thing. No word on how the records would be kept, whether your signature would be kept, anything like that. But I just want to know, how would the alcohol industry, how would the tavern industry react to a proposal to require people to sign a waiver every time they go to a bar, every time they drink at a restaurant? Again, treat marijuana users like alcohol users. If there's no waiver required for alcohol, what danger are you fearing that requires a waiver to be signed for marijuana use? They also have a requirement. They would have to follow a ventilation plan if they allow the use of vaping devices indoors. That's reasonable, I think. If you can have indoor consumption, you should have some sort of ventilation. But why is that only for vapes? Why not smoking indoors as well? If you got ventilation that's going to take care of the vape, why wouldn't it take care of the smoking? Why is that such a concern? They also mentioned that any places that have a liquor license would have to halt alcohol sales and seek a temporary suspension of the license while marijuana use is occurring, preventing any dual consumption by customers. So, you know, if a place like High Times wants to rent out a hall to hold a cannabis cup, and that hall has an alcohol license, that hall is going to have to go through a temporary license suspension just to be able to have people there using marijuana. Now, This is, I can understand maybe if they wanted to say you can't serve alcohol while the event's going on. That's cool. But to have to go through the process of an actual suspension of the license seems a little bit much. These are just some of the rules that they're considering, and we'll cover some of these after our safety briefing as well. They've got location restrictions, permitting considerations, operation considerations, all sorts of fees and requirements and paperwork they have to go through. We'll break this all down once we get a little bit safer.
I drank beer heavily and tried drugs enthusiastically.
And that's why you're one of my favorite presidents of all time, Mr. Obama. Well, folks, it's 420 here in the Pacific Time Zone, and according to Pot Smokers Local number 420, we have to take our mandated safety meeting right now. We'll be right back and talk a little bit more about these Denver social use restrictions.
At Herbie's Cannabis Seeds, we pride ourselves on bringing you the best quality seeds from the world's most respected cannabis seed producers, all at the lowest online prices. You can find Herbie's Seeds at herbiesheadshop.com. All cannabis seeds are sold as souvenirs and as a means of preserving cannabis genetics. Herbie's Seeds in no way intends to condone, promote, or incite the use of illegal or controlled substances. We strongly urge all respected customers to check their national laws prior to placing an order. Herbie's Seeds at herbiesheadshop.com. Proud sponsors of the Marijuana Agenda with Russ Belville.
It's time for Cannabis Facts About Alzheimer's from Robert Platschorn's thesilvertour.org. This message is supported by our donors and Hemp Inc., a public company poised to lead America's hemp revolution at hempinc.com. A new Florida study in the journal Molecular and Cellular Neuroscience found that cannabis promotes the growth of healthy new brain tissue. It can slow the effects of Alzheimer's and may, in fact, be able to halt it entirely. A long-term study by Ohio State University's Professor Gary Wenk concludes that people who regularly use marijuana get Alzheimer's at a much lower rate than others. This was Cannabis Facts from thesilvertour.org, an educational nonprofit supported by our donors and Hemp Inc., a public company poised to lead America's hemp revolution at hempinc.com.
You're listening to the Marijuana Agenda with Russ Belville.
It's like I picked the wrong week to quit smoking.
Learn more at mjagenda.com.
I'm Russ Belville with the Marijuana Agenda. Join me every 4 weeks for Veterans of Compassion with the Veterans Cannabis Group. Learn more at mjagenda.com/about.
It's time for Toker Talk Radio, the voice of the marijuana nation. Call in now at 650-LEGAL-MJ.
Welcome back, everyone. We're talking about the proposed regulations for Denver's social use, which was passed by initiative. It was Initiative 300, and the people of Denver supported that, believing that, hey, treat marijuana like alcohol also means treat marijuana users like alcohol users. That we ought to have our own lounges and our own festivals and our own places to congregate. But again, they want to treat marijuana as if it's porn or plutonium or PCP rather than the non-toxic healing herb that it is. I already told you that some of the restrictions include requiring patrons to sign a waiver. You want to go into the marijuana lounge, you need to sign a waiver because, my God, deadly dangerous marijuana smoking is going on in there. Also, a ventilation plan for vaporization, and if they have a liquor license, the venue that seeks the social use permit has to also temporarily suspend its liquor license. Yeah, what a pain in the ass that's got to be, because not only would they have to have the license suspended, but then after the event, you'd think they'd want to get their license back and have to unsuspend it. So they have to go through two sets of paperwork problems with the bureaucracy there. You know, that kind of proposal has got to be something the alcohol industry lobbied for. Got to be something that those folks wanted, to make it as onerous as possible for an alcohol using business to also allow for marijuana. So they're not going to let them. Can't have both. Can't have marijuana consumption and alcohol consumption at the same place. But here's some of the other points that they have put together for this. First of all, it's going to be about $2,000 for your business to apply for one of these social use permits. And some of the other restrictions is, first of all, and this was a part of the initiative, the business that wants to get one of these permits has to get backing from the local neighborhood group, whether that's the neighborhood group, the business district, or whatever. And there's no requirement that those groups have to approve these permits. There may be just entire sections of Denver where it's never going to happen because of the neighborhood district or the business district doesn't want it. Or these groups could use the permit as a way to extract other concessions from the organizers, from the people that want to hold these events, other restrictions perhaps, operating times, hours, whatever. But here are some of the other proposed rules according to the Denver Post. The consumption areas cannot be placed where they'd be visible from the public right of way or within 1,000 feet of schools. Okay, so basically they're saying your consumption area can't be seen, right? So we can't see you, and you can't do it indoors unless you have a super ventilation system. So again, you're kind of regulating this out of existence in a lot of cases. And this 1,000 feet from a school thing, right? 1,000 feet from a school. We got to keep the marijuana 1,000 feet away from a school. Though I can find numerous instances where alcohol is being sold and consumed within 1,000 feet of a school. But, you know, alcohol is different because culture and all, right? The proposed regulations would be not just 1,000 feet from the schools, but also childcare centers, alcohol or drug treatment facilities, city-owned recreational centers, and outdoor pools. Not within residential zone districts either. Events on public property, nope, can't do that. And any event that's serving alcohol can't have this permit either. So as long as you're not within 1,000 feet of any place a child might ever go, any place the public owns, and any place that's serving alcohol, then okay, we'll let you have your marijuana permit if the local business group or neighborhood group approves it. Because it's so dangerous. Also have to have the ventilation plan that you got to show. You got to show an odor control plan, right? So again, you got to have a ventilation plan and odor control, so you can't have it outside. If it's outside, then you're going to have people being able to see it unless there's fence that 12 feet high or whatever. I don't know how you do odor control in an outdoor smoking area, and they're not going to allow smoking indoors. So again, we're once again regulating it out of existence. The applicants will also have to show detailed preparations for marijuana waste disposal. Like what? Where we're going to empty the ashtrays? Marijuana waste disposal. Okay. And also have to show their plans to prevent underage entry to the consumption area. That's fair. I'm all for that. Wristbands, whatever we got to do. That's cool. They have to show plans to prevent over-intoxication by patrons. This one's tough. With alcohol, we pretty much know when someone has been too served, right? Over-served, right? They're drunk, they're slurring their words, and so forth. Well, what's the measurement for over-intoxication? And again, intoxication's the wrong word. What is the standard going to be for determining someone that's a licensed event allowing cannabis consumption allowed someone to become over-served on marijuana? What is the gauge for that? We don't have, you can't go with a number. We don't have like a 0.08 like we got for for alcohol. What else did they say? They have to have a plan for preventing driving while intoxicated and illegal distribution of marijuana. Well, look, any place where two or more stoners are gathered is a place where there may be illegal distribution of marijuana. But again, under the law in, under the Constitution in Colorado, adults can freely give marijuana to one another. Up to an ounce for no remuneration is perfectly okay. So what they're saying here is the businesses have to have a plan to prevent people from selling marijuana. And here's the problem. There's no plan you can make that could possibly guarantee prevention of someone making an illegal sale at this place. There's very little you can do to prevent people from DUI under marijuana, since there's no way to detect whether someone's too DUI to be able to D, you know, too UI to be able to D, right? And over intoxication, we got no measurement for that either. So all of these considerations are merely ways to put these business owners on the hook. If someone gets out of the party and is wrecks their car, or somebody is caught selling weed at the party or whatever it is, these are just ways to put people on the hook that those license holders won't be able to police. They have no control over those things. The businesses can't sell marijuana themselves, of course. That's fine. We accept that. Although the businesses that allow alcohol consumption are more than allowed to sell alcohol at the events. In fact, places that aren't even for alcohol consumption, like restaurants, can sell alcohol, and sports facilities can sell alcohol. The Denver, you know, the Colorado Rockies and the Denver Broncos and the Colorado Avalanche and all those guys, Denver Nuggets, they can all sell alcohol. That's fine. But can't sell marijuana at your event. What else they got here? Hearings would be automatic for business permits. Event permits would face a public hearing only if 10 people request one. Okay, interesting. They have to obtain signatures on waivers in which patrons acknowledge they are responsible for their own actions, will consume responsibly, won't drive impaired, and won't share marijuana in exchange for money. The state's indoor smoking ban would also apply unless a business or event is staffed by no more than 2 employees or volunteers. So, if you and a friend want to get a social use event permit, have a bunch of people over, make them sign a waiver that says they promise to be good, then maybe they'll allow indoor smoking. This is just, again, I understand the baby steps of this, but they're so over-regulating this as to set that up for failure. And then they'll say, see, the social use thing didn't work. It was a failure. Well, yeah, you regulated it out of existence before it could thrive. That's the problem. The state officials would allow the liquor licensees to de-license by paying a $150 fee. Now, this is similar to like bars and restaurants that host weddings. When the organizers supply their own alcohol, they have to de-license for a $150 fee. But this is just so crazy because you're basically putting this financial incentive not to want to have some sort of marijuana event, right? You're putting an expense in front of all of these venue holders, an extra $150 to de-license and whatever the cost is to get re-license, is just, again, trying to prevent this from even getting off the ground. It is a pilot program. It's a pilot program for 4 years, I understand. And we'll keep our eye on this, but it's a good step forward, but like many of our steps forward, very frustrating that it has to be so dang small. All right, one other quick news note out of South Florida. The lawmakers there in Florida deadlocked without being able to come up with sensible marijuana regulations. The Florida law there, the amendment that passed for medical marijuana, bans patients from smoking, but doesn't prohibit vendors from selling marijuana buds that you use in vaporizers. So guess what? People are smoking it. This is going to be a situation. We keep fighting for whole plant medical marijuana. And the thing that kills whole plant is the opponents bringing up the scare of smoking. that somehow smoking per se is a bad thing. And I warned the rest of the cannabis community long ago, as soon as they started cracking down on tobacco smokers and making all these anti-smoking laws, I warned our side that we need to be careful and we need to be fighting for the tobacco smokers' rights because they're going to use this anti-smoking stuff against us eventually. Apparently, the only other person that was listening was Pastor Niemöller from Nazi Germany back in the 30s. First, they came for the tobacco smokers, but I was not a tobacco smoker, so I said nothing. And now they're coming after the marijuana smokers, and this is what kills whole plant access for the needy patients. Even if they don't want to smoke, even if they just want to use it as a for vaporization, or even if they want to just be able to get whole plant so they can juice it themselves or make their own oils or tinctures, what kills whole plant is this demonization of smoking. So now what's going to happen in Florida is they're going to allow whole plant sales. They're going to say smoking is banned. Patients are going to smoke it anyway. The patients who do smoke it are going to get caught, getting it in trouble, maybe lose their medical marijuana cards, and who knows, have to deal with law enforcement. So then our opponents or the people in the other states, as they start to pass these laws, will say, aha, see, you can't let them have whole plant because they'll just smoke it. Smoking's bad. Folks, smoking is good, especially if you need relief right now. Self-titration and an immediate bypass of the blood-brain barrier is what makes smoking an effective way of using cannabis medicine.
You're listening to the Marijuana Agenda with Russ Belville.
New beginner guitars and banjos are often constructed much better than ones built before your time. Why struggle? Get a new instrument or fix the old one. The trusted professionals at the Fingerboard Extension will evaluate your instrument for free. Repairs are priced for people who work for a living. Stop by the Fingerboard Extension downtown Corvallis at 120 Northwest 2nd Street today or check out its inventory on the web at fingerboardextension.com.
This is Cannabis Facts from Robert Platschorn's thesilvertour.org. Supported by our donors and Hemp Inc., poised to lead America's hemp revolution at hempinc.com. In 1937, the second most prescribed medicine, marijuana, was banned. It wasn't about marijuana. The paper, oil, and chemical industries lobbied to end hemp farming. No longer labor-intensive, an acre of hemp produced more quality paper than 4 acres of trees. Plastics and fibers could be produced from a plant. Hemp can even produce 10 times the energy of today's ethanol. As marijuana prohibition ends, many states now allow farmers to again grow hemp. This was Cannabis Facts from thesilvertour.org, an educational nonprofit supported by our donors and Hemp Inc., a public company poised to process America's hemp crop at hempinc.com.
The marijuana agenda, like the alcohol agenda. But a lot safer.
I'm Russ Belville from The Marijuana Agenda. Join me every 2 weeks for the voice of the industry from the National Cannabis Industry Association. Learn more at mjagenda.com/about.
I have a package here for Radical Rick. Is there a Radical Rick here? How about a Rick Russ? Any Rick Russ? Somebody named Freddie Farrakh has sent him a package? Anybody? What is that? Sounds like a skunk. It's time for Toker Talk Radio, the voice of the marijuana nation. Call in now at 650-LEGAL-MJ.
Welcome back, everyone. 38 after the hour, and following up on that Florida story, it's frustrating to me, as many things are in this fight to end adult marijuana prohibition, that smoking of marijuana has become so demonized. And a lot of it owes to the demonization of tobacco and tobacco smokers. Some of it, rightly so. I'm the first to complain about tobacco smokers' seeming inability to understand that cigarette butts are litter. that blows my mind every time I see one flicking, just flick a butt right there in the street, like not even thinking about it, right? Just that always blows my mind. And of course, we have the well-documented evidence of smoking's harms, tobacco smoking's harms, nicotine, etc., to the lungs and for cancer and all of that stuff, emphysema, so forth. Got all that, no doubt about it. So some of the opprobrium toward tobacco smoking is deserved. And I have some sympathy for the social aspect of it, where many people didn't want smoke in public places, airports and meeting rooms and workplaces and so forth. Totally cool with that. Totally fine with that. But where there's a problem here is that smoking has been demonized. That is, the act of smoking has been demonized without considering the effect of the smoking. To wit, tobacco smoking is proven to be harmful. Cannabis smoking is not proven to be harmful at anywhere near the levels tobacco smoking is proven to be harmful. Yeah, we get a little bit more phlegm. Got a slight cough now and then. Problems with dry mouth, eyes get red. Can't really remember shit very well when you're high. We know these things to be true to some extent. Tobacco smoking, we're talking about death. We're talking about emphysema. We're talking about cancer, right? Way different level of harm. But when it comes to our public health policies, we have the Puritans and the do-gooders in the nanny state here that want to apply the same barriers, the same restrictions and regulations on cannabis smoking, or even worse restrictions on cannabis smoking, than they do for tobacco smoking, when the evidence isn't there to support that. And the perfect example of this is right here in the state of Oregon. The state of Oregon passed a Clean Air Act. A lot of states did, you know, after the 98 tobacco settlement and so forth. A lot of states passed these Clean Air Acts that say, because tobacco smoking is so terrible, because people exposed to secondhand smoke are experiencing a dangerous, noxious cloud, because tobacco is so awful, we're going to make these laws that say you can't smoke it indoors. Now, what they did in Oregon, once we legalized marijuana, is our legislature went and added into the Oregon law, and just like a little, you know, insert right in the word processor, right at the spot that says tobacco smoking, and then they added, and cannabis smoke and vaporization, and then they just left the rest of the law, right? The problem with that is, by just adding this into the Clean Air Act, you've banned something that the law, in its intent, never intended to ban. The whereases and the wherefores and the becauses that led to the Clean Air Act in Oregon were because we had this evidence. It's in the law. It says we have this evidence that shows secondhand tobacco smoke's awful, so we got to ban it. There is no evidence to show secondhand cannabis smoke is bad, and certainly no evidence to show secondhand cannabis vapor is bad, but they went and put cannabis smoke and vapor into that law. So basically, the law says right now, because we have evidence that secondhand tobacco smoking is bad, we have to ban indoor vaporization of cannabis. That's the way the law reads, essentially, at this point. And there's no evidence to show secondhand vaporization of cannabis is bad. So that's the kind of situation we get where the demonization of smoking, the act of smoking itself, the demonization of tobacco is being used against us as cannabis consumers in a ill-thought-out way, in an unjustifiable way. And that's why we need to be fighting this. We need to be educating people to understand that, first of all, there should never be any banning of indoor cannabis vaporization. I mean, I'm even talking about this from a public health perspective. Shouldn't the motive be reduction of harm? And if your concern is that the smoke is bad, you know, the effects of burning hydrocarbons is just generally bad, then why would you disincentivize people from turning to a safer alternative in vaporization? If you want to stick with the cannabis smoke indoors, not being allowed. Maybe you could justify that, you know, let's not have indoor fires, right? Maybe the smoke, just burning plant material generally, not a good thing. Might be able to stick with that, might be able to give you, I mean, might let you slide on that. But banning indoor vaporization is counterproductive. I mean, if the choice is vaporize indoors or smoke a joint outdoors, a lot of people in Portland, when it's cold and rainy, are going to pick vaporize indoors. But if your choice is nothing indoors or vaporize or smoke outdoors, people are going to smoke outdoors. Smoking's cheaper. Rolling papers are cheaper than vape cartridges, okay? And so, again, through our public health policies, banning indoor cannabis vaporization, you're incentivizing cannabis smoking. And you're incentivizing more outdoor cannabis smoking, which I think is something they generally don't want either for the smell roaming around the neighborhoods and such. So it's a very frustrating thing to me to see this banned. And from another perspective, and that's just looking on the adult use side. Looking on the medical side, because this is where a lot of these bans are happening. The latest medical marijuana states, the states in the 2010s, this decade's medical marijuana states, almost all of them are banning smoking, and almost all of them are banning access to whole plant cannabis. Got to get it in a tincture, an oil, or a spray, or whatever. And really, if I can't home grow my plants, and I can't have a whole bud of marijuana in my hands, and I'm not allowed to smoke that, what's the difference between this and any other pharmaceutical drug? I have to go to the dispensary to pick up the formulation that I am prescribed to use in a certain way, that I got to take as a pill or a tincture or an inhaler. How does that make it any different than Oxy, or make it any different than any other drug that you have to go to the special building to get? I mean, aside from the list of side effects that can kill you. Yeah, there's that part. But aside from that, to me, the miracle of medical marijuana ain't that it's a plant that you can extract a bunch of helpful chemicals out of. There's tons of those. Lots of plants. You know, willow bark. I mean, aloe vera, echinacea, all sorts of opium, all sorts of things that we extract helpful molecules from and make pills out of them, or tinctures or sprays or lotions or whatever. That's not the miracle of medical marijuana. The miracle of medical marijuana is I can grow my own houseplant. I can pick a bud off it. I can smoke it. I don't got to see a doctor, a pharmacist, a clerk. I don't got to get people's permission. I don't got to spend a lot of money. I don't have to have health insurance. That's the miracle of medical marijuana. So these latest states, I don't even call them medical marijuana states. I call them medical cannabinoid states. Because you're pharmaceuticalized cannabinoid states is even better. They're pharmaceuticalized cannabinoid states. Go to the pharmacy and get your cannabis pharmaceutical. The oil, the tincture, whatever it is. Get your cannabis pharmaceutical. And mark my words, folks, there's a reason behind this. The whole move toward this pharmaceuticalized cannabinoids to keep people from growing their own, to keep patients from using whole plant cannabis, to stop them from smoking it, the whole point of that is to smoothly ease us into the era of pharmaceutical cannabinoids. So that when GW Pharmaceuticals get its Sativex and its Epidiolex and Insys Therapeutics gets its drug, its dronabinol drugs, they all get their FDA approval. When all these drugs get their FDA approval, they'll be able to turn to the medical marijuana states and say, well, you don't really need this medical marijuana anymore, do you? You don't really need to be giving people crude plant materials when we have this little rescue inhaler, like the steroid inhaler you got for asthma. We got a little rescue inhaler for you with cannabinoids specially prepared by GW Pharmaceuticals. They're only marked up 40 times more than what you'd pay for them, but at least your insurance will cover it. That's where it's going, folks. That's where it's always been going. The end point of medical marijuana has always been the bottom line on the financial sheets of pharmaceutical corporations. They are what run medical. They are medical. That is medical. The medical health insurance complex. And that's what medical marijuana has always been leading to. The mistake made in medical marijuana advocacy has been to divorce it from legalization. Oh no, we're patients, not potheads. We're patients, not criminals. We're not like them. We're not like those dirty, disgusting dopers that just roll joints and smoke weed. We're not like them. Well, like Benjamin Franklin said, we must all hang together, or we shall assuredly hang separately. And medical marijuana is beginning to hang separately. At least if you consider medical marijuana to be something that a patient can grow, pick, and smoke for him or herself. Because we haven't seen a medical marijuana law like that since Michigan, 2008. It's been nearly a decade now since we've had a medical marijuana law where all patients, without a hardship exemption, without living so many miles away from a dispensary, but all patients can grow their own cannabis, harvest their own buds, smoke their own weed. And don't think that's an accident. If you think medical marijuana means growing your own plants, harvesting your own buds, smoking your own weed, then the medical marijuana train's over. That pathway, that tactic is only going to lead you farther into the arms of GW Pharmaceuticals and whatever other company gets their FDA approvals. If you want whole plant medicine, you got to get on board the legalization train. You need to get away from the idea that people need a special excuse that's good enough in the eyes of the law to be able to cultivate and smoke marijuana. You need to get on board with the notion that even the dirtiest, disgusting, lowest hippie doper in your eyes has as much right to use cannabis, to cultivate cannabis, and to smoke cannabis as does the patient with MS, AIDS, or cancer. Only then can we all fight together for whole plant access for whatever reason.
You're listening to The Marijuana Agenda with Russ Belville.
Hey everybody, it's Russ Belville from The Marijuana Agenda, inviting you to be like me and get your ink done at Lucky Horseshoe Tattoo, Fort Worth's most female-friendly, clean, sterile, awesome tattoo shop. Thomas and his crew are true artists who can design you a custom piece or use a design you bring in. Lucky Horseshoe also offers all styles of tattooing as well as piercings and all-around fun. In the DFW area, stop by Lucky Horseshoe Tattoo and tell them Radical Russ sent you. Trust me, it'll feel awesome.
It's time for Cannabis Facts about Teen Drug Use from Robert Platschorn's thesilvertour.org. This message is supported by our donors and Hemp Inc., a public company poised to lead America's hemp revolution at hempinc.com. A recent survey by the U.S. Centers for Disease Control indicates that in states that have legalized medical marijuana, the rate of marijuana consumption among high school students has not increased. In fact, in legal states like Colorado, teen use has actually decreased significantly. It's simply no longer a big deal for teenagers in legal states. This was Cannabis Facts from thesilvertour.org, an educational nonprofit supported by our donors and Hemp Inc., a public company poised to lead America's hemp revolution at hempinc.com.
The Marijuana Agenda, Kevin Sabet's Boogeyman since 2012.
You have offended my family, and you have offended Shaolin Temple.
Yes, might have gotten away with it, too, if it wasn't for these blasted kids and their dogs.
I'm Russ Belville from The Marijuana Agenda. Join me for A Sensible Future from Students for Sensible Drug Policy every other Tuesday here on The Marijuana Agenda. Learn more at mjagenda.com/about.
As pirates, we go on vacation to North Dakota, you know, because they've got a town called Argusville. What are you smoking there, boy?
It's time for Toker Talk Radio, the voice of the marijuana nation. Call in now at 650-LEGAL-MJ.
Welcome back as we close up shop here on the Marijuana Agenda. Reminder, we got a great show coming up for you tomorrow. We got the drug policy reform update, and we've got the United Kingdom Cannabis Chronicle. And speaking of that, it looks like, I can't say it's in pen yet, but it's definitely penciled in. It looks as though I'll be heading to Birmingham, United Kingdom, in September for Labor Day weekend, appearing as part of a cannabis hemp expo there in the UK. My first time in Europe. It'll be a lot of fun. Big thanks go out to the UK Cannabis Social Clubs. Check them out at ukcsc.co.uk. And my good friend Greg DeHote, a.k.a. Cannabis Cure UK, who so many years ago, God, how many years ago was it now? Almost 10, maybe? Came to the United States. I got to meet him and hook him up with some of the folks in the medical marijuana states. And ever since, he's just been a tremendous activist out there in England. And I look forward to getting out there. So Cannabis Cure, Deej, all you guys, can't wait to meet you. All right, as we wind things up, we're in the lightning round. I got a few marijuana stories to get to with some commentary. One coming out of Israel. This was reported in Nature Medicine. Researchers from Bonn University in Germany and Hebrew University in Jerusalem treated aging mice with tetrahydrocannabinol and found that it reversed the brain's aging process. Not only did mature and elderly mice perform better on cognitive tests after treatment, but their brain tissue and genetic markers showed physical changes indicative of cognitive youth. Whoa! Now, conversely, they found that young mice treated with THC did worse on cognitive tests after treatment, a finding that's consistent with marijuana studies on human youth. But this is fantastic news. It replicates what I've been, or it backs up what I've been saying a long time, is that is once you get your AARP card, that ought to be your medical marijuana card. Everything bad that happens to you as you get older, as I'm soon to find out, I'm approaching AARP age myself, but everything that plagues you as you get older, you know, sore muscles, sore joints, cognitive fog, you know, the aging process, Alzheimer's, dementia, all that kind of stuff seems to be alleviated through the use of cannabis. And we're finding that seniors are the fastest growing cannabis using demographic out there, tripling in the past decade or so. The results, according to Quartz Media, the results confirm the researchers' hypothesis that cognitive aging is associated with a decline in the ability of receptors in the brain and the body's endocannabinoid system to receive chemical signals. This system helps mammals regulate things like appetite, mood, and memory, as well as the response to marijuana. THC appears to stimulate these receptors in older mice. Fantastic news there. Great little story. What else do we got here in our lightning round? The Vermont legislature, we reported they were the first legislature to pass marijuana legalization. It's a grow and give, and they've also got a study committee to study whether or not they'll tax and regulate. It's now gone to the desk of Governor Phil Scott, a Republican, and he hasn't said whether he'll sign the bill to make Vermont the ninth state to legalize. But he has said he wants to ensure the proposal addresses public safety needs, such as ways to counter drugged driving. Scott on Wednesday said, quote, "I'm going to review the bill as passed, but I've been pretty clear that I'd like to see some improvements to the bill to make sure we have structures in place that provide safety to Vermonters." Yeah, you wouldn't want to legalize grow and give, Governor Scott, because, you know, Vermonters might smoke and drive pot. Smoke pot and drive. They might get potted up behind the wheel, right? Because that doesn't happen now. Now that marijuana is illegal, nobody's smoking and driving now. But if we legalized, suddenly these people who were following the law by not smoking weed are now going to smoke weed legally and then drive. They're going to break the DUI laws once they start following the marijuana laws. I never understand why this makes any sense to people. And finally, a story coming out of Rolling Stone, how Henry Rollins became a drug-free pot advocate, gives a shout-out to the Oregon Marijuana Business Conference. It says, quote, "I never did drugs, really," he told Rolling Stone during a recent interview in Eugene, Oregon, where he was appearing as the keynote speaker at the Oregon Marijuana Business Conference. Quote, "I tried acid a few times, smoked marijuana once, I just never liked any of it. I would rather drink a liter of paint, end quote. Thanks for the shout-out, Rolling Stone. That's all the time we got for today. Time flies when you legalize. Join us tomorrow on the Marijuana Agenda. And until next time, take care of each other, tokers.
Follow MJ Agenda on Facebook, Pinterest, Instagram, YouTube, and SoundCloud. And follow MJ Agenda Show on Twitter. Learn more at MJAgenda.com.
You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you try it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you try it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you try it, you roll it, you smoke it, and it goes down smooth.